Witness. And here is your host in Hollywood, Robert Young. In the normal course of most any day, every one of us is a witness to matters of life and death. The way we involve ourselves in these vital matters makes our own lives worthwhile or meaningless. Laugh, and the world laughs with you, is not always true. The life of a comedian has its ups and downs, just like anything else. It's a bed of roses, but it has its thorns. The reason is, there is more to making people laugh than making jokes. Johnny Ball finds this out in a way that wasn't very funny.
So the drunk said, "Lady, I didn't mean that. You're sitting on my hands." Yeah. And now, last of all, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say you've been a wonderful audience, and I'm sorry if I've kept you awake. Before I go, look, I just discovered we have a very important star from Hollywood sitting right up here at the front table, none other than the famous star of those horror pictures, Mr. Boris Karloff. Oh, lady, pardon me. I'm sorry, I couldn't... Baxter's manager of this club, tell me, what kind of food are you serving that crowd out there? Morphine sandwiches and hot milk? I mean, I've seen dead audience.
Come into my office, Johnny, where we can talk.
Look, couldn't we do this later? I got a date.
There's not going to be any later.
Oh, just a minute. Can I help it out? A few crummy hicks. What kind of customers they got in this hotel anyway?
Johnny.
What, that convention of morons?
Very funny.
There's a guy in the back holding up a sign, "Idiots of America, unite!"
Johnny, listen.
Everybody bowed to him when they came in.
Will you shut up? I've booked another act in for next week. It's all settled, Johnny. I'm sorry.
Oh, look, Mr. Baxter, I need this work. I mean, I don't have another booking for 3 months that amounts to anything. I'm getting married next month.
Sorry, Johnny. I can't afford to carry a flop performer any more than anybody else.
A flop? You know the clubs I play, the towns I've worked in?
No, I don't.
I mean, you're not talking to some bum on his last leg, Mr. Baxter. I got some of the finest material, the finest writers in the business.
I don't know anything about that, Johnny. Maybe you have got the best. Best routines, writers, gags. I don't know. I only go by one thing, my customers. And if they vote no, then I vote no, period.
Don't worry about it, Johnny. Things will work out.
Don't worry. How can you say that? Cindy, this is the third straight time I've been canceled. You know the old story about a third time. How can you say don't worry?
Because I believe in you a lot more than you believe in yourself.
You know, I think I got it figured out, though. I think I know what's wrong. It's timing.
But you've worked and worked on those routines.
But that's got to be it. Everybody knows timing is the secret of comedy. But you're right. I got good timing. That isn't me. It's got to be the material. Where's the phone?
Oh, you know where the phone is. Who are you calling?
My writer. Who else? Si is going to have to come up with some better material, that's all. I mean, you just can't go... Come on, Si. You're sleeping no good, Nick. Answer the phone. Get your coat, Cindy.
But Johnny, it's after midnight.
Then we'll wake him up. My life is at stake, baby, and he's the guy who's responsible. All right, Si, roll out. Come on.
Johnny, give him time. I've never seen you this way.
Look, there's only one way to handle writers.
Well, this certainly can't be it.
Now, what took you so long?
I couldn't find my gun. Hello, Cindy.
Hi.
Any scotch? Never mind, I see it.
Have a drink, Johnny. Cindy?
No, thanks.
Good girl. She never drinks before breakfast. Well, cheers.
Let's sit down, Cindy. I have a feeling we're going to hear a speech. No, spare the preliminaries. Mac called me a couple hours ago, so I know what it's all about.
Good. And by this time, you got your excuses all prepared, so let's hear them.
Well, it's much too late in the day for excuses. Let's move quickly to the stirring climax and hear what you've got to say.
You hear that, Cindy? You hear that? Now you know why there's only one way to deal with writers. You know what I got to say. Your stuff is lousy. It's old hat, Charlie. It stinks.
Johnny.
Is that the same as second rate? If there's one thing I can't stand, it's being called second rate. Cindy, you let me know when he gets to it. I'm going to bed.
Now, listen, Si. Just listen. Listen, huh? Now, if you think this is a typical complaint from another one of your many dissatisfied customers, you are wrong. You write my jokes, and they flop, huh? So they make me flop.
You're the performer, Junior. That's your flop, not mine. You take my mild, harmless gag that doesn't hurt anybody and aim it at some nice housewife who came out to get a few good laughs in her life. She gets them all right at the expense of her receding chin or her bald-headed escort.
Oh, listen. Listen to the origin of show business.
Now, Johnny, cool off a second. Maybe we can figure it out, all right?
Oh, please, Johnny, sit down. You and Cy have been friends for a long time. Now, don't spoil it.
Huh? All right. All right, lovable old Cy. Say something friendly.
Well, I think there's something you ought to hear, but I'm sure you're not going to like it.
Oh, I had a feeling it was something like that, something real friendly.
Don't
huh?
you want the truth, Johnny?
I asked him for his opinion. I'll decide if it's the truth or not. Hey, whose side are you on?
Now, you've got a problem that I've seen many times in this business, Johnny. Believe me, some of the greatest have had it at one stage or another in their development.
Sounds like hoof and mouth disease. Come on, say it, say it. Come on, say it. I'm a lousy comic, huh? I louse up the punchline. My timing's off. Take your pick.
You left out one thing. Your attitude. You act like you hate your audience, Johnny.
I what?
You insult them. You don't laugh with them. You laugh at them.
Just what does that mean?
It means that you hate your audience. There's no humility about your performance. What do you suppose made Will Rogers and Al Jolson the stars they were? Because they looked out there and saw those people in the audience and they loved them and respected them and did their best to make every person out there feel good. And that goes for such top artists as Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Red Skelton. Well, just name it, every big comedy star in the business. They love their audience.
Have you finished?
Now, believe me, Johnny, I offer you that in friendship and with a very real respect for your talent.
All right. If you're done, just let me say this. Huh? If that's your idea of friendship, Cy, I'd hate to be your enemy. Come on, Cindy.
But, Johnny.
I had it with you, Cy. I've had it. I came here tonight to give you another chance. See if maybe there was a fresh idea in that tired old head of yours. But you had it. You had it, Dad. And I'm going to make sure the word gets around. The great Cy Haskins is washed up.
Very tired. It's been a long night. Do you mind?
Not even a cup of coffee?
Not tonight, please.
Something's bugging you, honey. What is it?
I've been thinking about what Cy said. Maybe he's... Well, isn't it just possible?
It has to be me. Is that it?
Johnny, please. Is it impossible for you to allow even the slightest crack in that armor of yours?
This is it. Final scene. A guy gets it from his fiancée right in the back.
Well, that does it. Good night. Let go of that door.
Not in your life, baby. Not until I say what I gotta say.
Johnny, you're hurting me.
Oh, boy. You're the one who believes in me, huh? When everybody else in town lets me down, the one who was supposed to be true blue. When the chips are down, you're right beside the rest of them.
It's not happening. It's just not happening.
If something's wrong with my act, it has to be Johnny. Can't be lovable old Cy, no. Can't be the band or the lights or the sound system. Can't be the drunks or the idiots and the lousy audience, no. When the chips are down, you're right beside the rest of them. A dopey dame.
Don't insult me, Buster. I'm not an audience.
Cy Haskins is back there.
He just walked in. One moment, please. If Mr. Haskins want to take it on that phone, Mr. McDonald.
Thank you, Mayor. Cy, how are you?
Mac, I want to talk to you about Johnny Ball. The boy's got a real problem.
Well, hello, Johnny. Come in. Nice to see you.
Hello, Mac. Mind if I sit down? It was a rough night.
Relax. Take it easy.
Well, if I don't get another playing date soon, I'm going to have plenty of time to relax. You got anything?
Well, it's rough right now. Everybody's having problems. It's the holiday season or the news of the day. I don't know.
Don't snow job me, Mac. Look, it's three straight cancellations. If you could just get me someplace where the audience isn't made up of jerks for once.
Audiences are people, aren't they? And people are the same all over.
Now, don't you start on me, Mac. Please, I'm up to here with helpful advice from so-called friends. You know, Cindy walked out on me last night?
Oh, I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm truly sorry.
And Cy.
What about Cy?
Oh, I really saw him for what he is last night. Yeah, he tried to put all the blame on me. The great god, Cy Haskins. Grand old man of comedy writers. He's a rat.
You've got a lot to learn, Johnny. An awful lot.
I'm going to hurt that old man. Boy, I mean, the word is really going to be out.
I'm going to give you a piece of information, Johnny. And I don't know if it'll do you any good or not. Cy called me this morning.
Do you know what he said? I can guess.
He told me that if you have any trouble getting bookings, if anybody tries to say that Johnny Ball isn't a great young comic, I should say that Cy Haskins considers him one of the best in the business.
You've got talent, Johnny. Great talent.
Cy, what can I say? I mean, I was so full of hate for everybody, I wanted to hurt people.
Forget it. Let's get at the problem of how to love an audience and make them laugh.
And Cy said not to think of them as a mob or a crowd, but as individuals. Yeah. People I love and I want to entertain.
I'm so glad you came back to me, Johnny. So glad.
You know I couldn't stay away from you. Besides, I need you. I want you out there in that audience tomorrow night. And every time I feel the old urge coming back, I'm going to say, there's a person out there that you love, Johnny Ball. Don't hurt her. Make her laugh.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say I learned a great lesson not long ago. That is, that every man must learn to laugh at himself. That's so true. Now, with a skinny string bean like myself, it isn't too hard to do. You know, I mean, if you have a horse face like mine, what else? Eh? But not you, ladies and gentlemen. Not you. You're going to have a hard time learning that lesson because you're beautiful. Every single one of you is absolutely beautiful.
You have been listening to The Witness, and here again is your host, Robert Young.
In the hands of the wrong person, laughter can be the cruelest of weapons, cruel to the joker as well as the person at whom it is directed. And it takes pretty profound insight to discover how we can laugh together at no one's expense. What can bring us to the point where we can trust each other enough that we can share our laughter at ourselves and enjoy our laughter with others? I'd like to thank Alan Young, Leon Ames, Janet Waldo, Parley Bear, and Les Tremaine for sharing their talents with us, and thanks to each one of you for being with us.
Transcribed in Hollywood, The Witness is produced by Marjorie Hunt Pearson, directed by Thomas Freeburn Smith, and written by Don Hall. This is Art Gilmore speaking for the Episcopal Church, which presents The Witness. We hope you'll join us again soon for the next Witness.